I have not been outside of this continent. That was the response to our last podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We did Two Truths, a Lie. Yep. For me, I said, yep, I've been to every continent. I, in fact, have not been to any continent outside of this one.
So you've only done North America?
Only North America, baby.
Okay. Yeah. We need to change that.
I would love
considering,
to
go. Considering I'm your friend, I almost feel like I failed you.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
When it's summer, I just get the travel bug. Mm-hmm. And I'm rarely in the city we're in.
Yeah.
I
find it so funny that people like to leave Canada during the summer because like that's finally the time that it's warm here.
The city we're in, I like. And like I like our patio season. I enjoy that. The way it happens is in terms of like work is slower. Your friends are generally, that's when they take time off. So you're able to meet with everyone around the world. And I mean, you can't compare summers in Europe to Canada. You just can't.
All good points. All good points, Fariba. Okay, so I can't help but notice that what you just shared with us is called an opinion.
I have a lot of those.
You just shared an opinion. Congratulations. Gold star.
Yay. It wasn't a fact.
Okay. Today's word of the day is opinion.
Yeah.
And the reason we're doing this is because our last three podcasts have gradually took us to this word. So we started out arguing about intent.
Yeah.
And then during our argument of intent, we discovered that we really need to unpack the word perspective because perspective plays such a large role in how you perceive intent.
Yeah.
And then when we were unpacking perception, we discovered that there was another whole mountain we needed to climb, and that was about lying and deception.
Then we realized that it was a matter of opinion.
Well,
because
but that's what we're here to discuss.
And that's what we're here today. Yeah.
Is it? Okay. So I'll pull up the definition. So I found this quite interesting because I don't think I've ever looked up the definition of opinion. I think it's just kind of common sense. It's a common sense word.
It's such a common word and we use it on such a regular basis that we have a perception of the definition.
I think now that we're discussing that, I think that's probably how society gets itself into so much trouble is because we're so used to using common sense.
Well, we think now, we're using common
sense. Right, exactly. So now we're just basing our actual knowledge on common sense.
Yeah, what we think is AKA or quote unquote common sense, we're using it as facts.
Right. Let's get to the definition of opinion, which is a view or judgment formed about something, not necessarily based on fact or knowledge.
Right.
So like what this is saying to me is you could literally say anything you wanted.
But that's what an opinion is, right? And this is why it's so important that when you're communicating, you use the words like, in my opinion, or what I believe, or I feel. Right. And I think the problem is where we get ourselves in trouble is when we make statements and we forget to forget to use these words in the beginning of the sentence to set the conversation correctly. For example, you have a bad experience with someone. Someone's hurt you. And instead of saying, I feel hurt, and you turn around and you say, you hurt me. Those are two very different things. In one circumstance, you're saying, in my opinion, I feel hurt. Like, this is how I feel. This is my opinion. This is my experience. And the other sentence of you hurt me is a fact. It's a statement of someone else's actions. You're pointing the finger of what they have done. Not in your opinion. You're stating it as a fact.
But you're confusing fact with perception now. You're saying that this person is basing it on a fact of what someone else has done.
No, I'm saying the way you word it. I'm saying the way you word it. So just the wording of it, right? if you turn around, it could be your perception that they hurt you, and that's that you have every right to that perception.
Oh, this is so confusing.
You have every right to understand that that's how you perceived the situation. But what I'm saying is our responsibility to also communicate that. It's to communicate that, hey, Cynthia, I feel like this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And my perception was that you did X, Y, and Z and it hurt me.
I think we have too many problems because as you're talking, I've already got the next word, which we have done a little bit on. And that word is accountability.
We've done accountability.
Yeah, but we haven't really done it from this perspective because as you're talking, I'm like, my mind is just a pile of garbage right now because I'm thinking about how I feel my opinions are actually mostly based in knowledge or fact. I actually don't share opinions that aren't based on some kind of knowledge or some factual evidence.
Okay, so explain that a little bit. So when you say opinion, so give me an example. Give me a real life example.
If someone's asking me for relationship advice and I'm giving them advice, or even if I'm just giving unsolicited relationship advice, I'm pulling from my knowledge.
Your experience.
My knowledge of experiences that I have witnessed, that I have experienced myself, but it is knowledge.
But it's knowledge that you've gained through your own experience.
Yes, but what is research? Research is knowledge that comes out of evidence-based surveys, etc.
Yes.
So what is the difference between researchers and scientists and the 30 years that I've spent on Earth dating and witnessing divorces, meeting different kinds of people and hearing about their relationship? What's the difference? I've accumulated my own evidence and knowledge.
In like the scientific sense, when you do a firsthand research, it's often considered biased.
Oh, is it?
And I think if you want to get into describing what you just said, there's qualitative research and there's quantitative research. Mm-hmm. And so quantitative research is when they take a study and they make it about like statistics and numbers. And, you know, when we talked about lying, for example, in our last podcast, we were able to say research shows that the average person lies 1 to 2 times a day. So they've done qualitative studies and quantitative studies to come up with all of this. A lot of times people, when they do firsthand research, you have to be very careful about your own personal bias and your own, because it's very difficult to separate your perception, the way you view the world, the way Cynthia, specifically Cynthia, views the world. You and I, we talked about brushing our teeth, right? Mm-hmm. You brush your teeth for different reasons than I do. It's the same act, but you're perceiving it differently, right? So this is why it's very tricky when anthropologists do firsthand research, because you got to be really, really careful that your own personal experiences do not actually impact.
So we can't call our own life experience knowledge.
No, you can. That's not. But what you can't do is you can't say it's fact.
Okay, but
you can say
I'm pointing to this part of the definition of opinion. If an opinion is based on knowledge or fact, I feel like it gives it more validity. So that's why I started off by saying, I don't think I give opinions unless they are based on some amount of knowledge or some amount of
experience.
Fact. But I do feel, this is my opinion, that most people give an opinion not based on any of that at all. And I think that contributes to why I don't like most people, because find it extremely irritating.
Right. So these most people, what is their opinions based off of?
Completely their own isolated world of perception. I feel like I have a broader view of people and the world.
Based on your experiences.
Not based on my experiences.
But you're the only one who's allowed to.
Based how I arrived at that conclusion that I am smarter than the rest. Yes, it is based on my experiences.
Okay.
Yeah.
So essentially, just through time, through different meetings, through different work, you're kind of like,
Yeah, because the conclusions that I tend to draw about people and things that happen, those conclusions tend to be right more often than not. And most other people that I know don't have that high success rate of being right.
Okay. So you're really good at like reading situations or reading people. Okay. And you think that's due to the fact that you've just experienced so much. So you're just, you've gotten a better sense of reading people.
No, it's not that I've just experienced much. It's how I've perceived that.
Okay. Experience. So not just, right. So is it because you've experienced a lot or is it because
So perhaps the initial experiences that I had in life positioned me to absorb later experiences in a more intellectual way.
Right. Which makes sense, which I think is a fair thing to say. And this is why a lot of people say humans who have experienced certain difficulties, certain challenges, certain traumas are generally more mature, are generally more empathetic, are generally, they actually being better listeners, they end up being better communicators because they had to experience certain things earlier on. And I agree with that. I think experience in general, especially difficult experiences, and it doesn't necessarily have to be, the word trauma is just such a big word. I'm not a fan of it, but like everyone takes the word and throw it to like every situation they had. They're like, it was such a traumatic experience. And I'm like, okay, that's all dramatic. What? Like you got your coffee late. It's okay. All in all, experiences shape the way we perceive, shape the way we encounter with people. And I think you are right. I think because of certain experiences that people have undergone, they can have higher EQs than others. Emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And so I think what you're saying is fair.
Yeah, I'm out here to eradicate opinions. I want to just wipe it completely. I don't think we should have them.
Well, you can't change that, right? But I think a great way to start that is whenever someone has an opinion, I like to understand where they're coming from. Even sometimes like you say things to me and I'm like, whoa, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. But I want to know where it's coming from. And just simply by asking, I find out that it's not an opinion. It's based on maybe something a little bit more concrete, right? So maybe sometimes it's also, let's give the other person the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. Let's not assume everyone's an idiot, which is a difficult thing to do, trust me. But maybe sometimes they watch something on the news and then now all of a sudden this is their opinion because they watch something. And then so you can have a constructive conversation with them and say, oh, that's interesting because I actually read this and it was challenging that perspective. Or, oh, that's interesting that you watched that video because I've actually watched a study that, you know, contradicted that. How else are we supposed to learn?
Okay, let's get controversial here.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. I can't help but read this definition over and over again. I'm picking it apart. It's too loose.
Mm-hmm.
Could you not say, and then there's another level to this that we need to unpack, but could you not say that religious, let's start with cults.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying that religion and cults are the same thing, but you know, that's for another day. Could you not argue that a cult is literally an opinion? The definition, and we'll revisit it, is a view or judgment formed about something, not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. The reason I went to religion first is because that's where my mind actually went first, because I was thinking about the Bible. Depending on how you view the Bible, you could say that this is just a book of stories, or you could literally say, no, this happened. This is fact.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess that could be an argument for another day.
So read the definition again.
A view or judgment formed about something not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. So what I'm trying to say is a religion itself, because, you know, you go to worship at an establishment and you have a set of beliefs and views about how to live your life mm-hmm. based off of a book, which could be argued is based on fact or knowledge. But I guess that doesn't even matter because this is saying it's not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. Yeah.
Your view is your opinion on the Bible. The way you perceive religion is your opinion on the Bible. The mm-hmm. way you mm-hmm. view descriptions, the way you view and perceive the stories and the history or whatever you want to call it, that is your opinion, right? It's your viewpoint, as per the it's your viewpoint, it's your view about something. So about the scriptures, about the history, about the book, about the concept.
Okay, so let's go to a mass. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you're familiar with how yeah. masses operate, but they kind of go through the motions. Everything's kind of the same. You sing the hymns that are from the book, and then you say the prayers that are from the book and all that. And then you get to the sermon, mm-hmm. I believe that's what it's called. And that's where the priest stands up and gives a anecdotal speech. Yeah. About the contents of a certain section of the Bible. Mm-hmm. I'm interested. I'm really interested in this. You know, okay. I'm not trying to pick this apart. I'm not trying to pick religion apart. I'm just interested in then how we would dissect the mass, because would the sermon be the only part of it that's an opinion? But, or could you argue that the rest of the mass is an opinion as well? Because it's all an interpretation.
Mass is a factual thing, right? Like it's a physical thing that you're at a mass, but the way you perceive the mass and the way you're experiencing it and what you think of it, whether you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, or if the guy's telling the truth or lying, that is your opinion. So when someone says the Bible is 100% true and this is what I believe, that is their opinion. If someone else says I don't believe in religion, that is their opinion. But the Bible is a physical book.
Right.
You can't dispute that.
Right. But then are you not saying then the Bible is fact or knowledge? It fits into either one of those categories.
No, I'm saying your viewpoint on it is your opinion on if it's fact or knowledge. That's your opinion. Mm-hmm. So when someone tells me the Bible is a fact, I can say, oh, that's your opinion. Your example of the mass is a physical thing. I'm physically at a mass. You can't dispute that. My physical body is at a mass.
But what you're worshiping.
But what I'm worshiping is my opinion of what is my opinion. I believe what the priest is saying or what the preacher is saying is to be true. This is my opinion.
Yes. There's so much to clarify, because if we can't even clarify this, I don't feel like we can. Then you take this subject to relationships and literally anything else in life, and it just becomes so complex.
Well, yes and no. The moment you give in on the fact and accept the fact that just because you feel like something is absolutely true, it doesn't mean it's true. And the moment you give in to that idea and just accept that everyone has their own experience and just let people just say their piece and not be offended by it, not be offended by someone else's opinion, because everyone has a right to their opinion, right? As long as your opinion is not abusive to me, is not, you're not communicating in a harmful way, or you're abusing me, or you're harming me, mm-hmm. it's your opinion. And the minute you give into that and just be okay, just people just need to chill. We've become so righteous, right? Everyone wants to think that what they believe is correct. It's like, okay, you're right. You want to think you're this? You're right. I saw a meme the other day. I could not relate to it as much as I did. It was, I'm at a point in my life where if someone wants to tell me that 1 + 1 = 5, I'm like, okay, you're right. I'm not. That is because here's what's happened. That is their opinion. I'm aware enough that that's what they believe in. It doesn't mean that's what I have to believe in. It doesn't mean it's reality. My reality, at least.
Do you remember the trial of George Zimmerman? And we won't talk in depth about it, but when he said that he perceived, and I'm not sure that he used that word, but let's just say that's kind of what he was saying. He perceived to be threatened, mm-hmm. that he was in trouble. Mm-hmm. Was that a perception or was that an opinion?
But isn't perception opinion? Isn't that the definition? If you pull up the definition we talked about, perception, and I think this is why we got into the word opinion, because you perceiving something is part of you forming your opinion. Your perception forms your opinions.
Okay, there's a couple of different lines of this definition, but I'll go to the line that matters to us. So a way of regarding, understanding, or interpreting something.
Right.
A mental impression. Yeah, that's an opinion.
No, that is what comes right before the opinion.
Oh.
That is what you just said, what you experience.
Okay.
And then you form the opinion based on your experience, but you have to perceive it, experience it, and then you have your opinion on it. You have your judgment on it.
And so that's where the law would come into play, is where we were all questioning, was he justified in his actions? In his actions, yeah. But in his perception. That was also part of the judgment. It was...
Yeah.
Was this a valid perception?
Right. And it's very difficult. Well, I mean, it is and it's not, because the way you perceive things lead to certain actions, right? And so if your actions are not consistent with what you've perceived, then maybe the lawyers would find loopholes.
That's really the only time growing as a human matters, is when there's consequences. Mm-hmm. So none of us are going to change the wild opinions that we're forming until we see consequences being made for comparable situations. So for example, you're in a relationship and your hyper awareness about your significant other's behavior on their phone leads you to perceive that something may be off, mm-hmm. which leads you to have an opinion that they may be having an affair. You can go along with that thought process with no consequences. Mm-hmm. But the minute you see some other girl or guy doing this exact same thought process, and then they externalize it to their partner, and that partner says, "You're crazy. You're being way too sensitive. I'm breaking up with you." Mm-hmm. That's a consequence that they've now just witnessed. Mm-hmm. And so they may learn how to correct their misguided way of thinking. Like, would you argue that people don't try to correct their way of thinking?
I think that's a difficult example, because I think that's more of a fear-based. And I think, like, the person still feels those things. They're just hiding it now because of the consequence. Whereas I think, for example, I'll give you something that's happened to me 2 days ago. I got in a situation with someone I work with. I was frustrated. The messages they were sending me at 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night was extremely aggressive. So the next day I messaged my brother explaining what had happened. And then he called me and he gave me his perception of the situation. And immediately what I had perceived changed. Immediately my train of thought and my emotions toward the situations changed, because I realized, oh, if I pivot from this angle and I look at it from a different angle and a different perspective, it's actually not as bad as I thought.
Yes, but you are a person that is more willing to learn, to better their life. Not everyone is like that. A lot of people can only respond either not at all, mm-hmm. or to fear-based consequences.
Yeah. All of this, we're saying all of this, and I think the bottom line is, like, human beings in general, in order to be a healthier version of yourself, you have to have a fluid mindset. And that's just it. The more rigid you are, whether it's in relationships and business and your work, your day-to-day life, the more rigid you are with your mindset, the worse off you are. Being a mentally healthy person is part of being a fluid person. I say all of this, but it's like, yeah, your foundation has to be, you have to be willing to be open-minded. You have to be willing to think that there is room for you to be wrong. And the minute you go into any situation, whether it's an argument, whether it's negotiations, whether it's work and you think you're you are correct, you are the most right person in the room, I'm sorry to tell you, but you are not. That is a very rigid mindset. That you cannot have that mindset. If we're all right in our way, so then there's no point. We're all right. There's no room to be wrong for anyone.
Do you remember that meme you sent me? It was like a whole bunch of people in a room.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was one person standing outside of them. And he's like, yes, you are all wrong. And the caption of it was what hill would you die on for this? And I said,
everything.
I said everything. Because that's the truth. So I guess I'm the problem.
It's interesting with you, not to maybe dissect this, but you have like a very rigid vocabulary when you talk about yourself, but then in action, mm-hmm. and when we're communicating, you're not as rigid as you think. When you talk about yourself and when you talk about how right you think you are, mm-hmm. you're very firm. You're very like, this is it. And I know I'm the most,
yes,
I'm the smartest person in the room.
Yes.
Right? But then when in action, you show a lot of fluidity. You show a lot of flexibility.
That's because I avoid. My solution to me disagreeing with everyone is avoidance. It's, I don't care, mm-hmm. to have this debate with you because you are all wrong. So I'm going to stand in this corner, you let you talk,
yeah.
let you walk all over me. Yeah. But I know I'm right. So I'm just going to stand here. That's why.
In our conversations, I've seen that you are willing, you are open to the potential of maybe your perspective was wrong. You
right.
are open to pivoting a bit on your viewpoint. You are open to making changes.
Yes. But that's part of why I also think I'm better than most people. Because I am willing to do that.
I know, but right. the statement of saying I'm right in itself is
yeah,
wrong,
yeah.
right? Most people, when they hear that,
they would think I'm the type of person that just...
She's going to be very difficult to work
right.
with. She's going to be very difficult to be friends with. She's going to be very difficult to have a solution, constructive, oriented conversation with. Because why would I want to enter a conversation with someone who has such a rigid mindset?
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, in reality, you're actually not like that.
Okay, and this is why. It's because I don't have an opinion and solution to most things. I just know when people are wrong. For example, when we get into arguments, well, we actually don't get into arguments mm-hmm. about the government because we are always aligned on this. Everything about, you know, everything yeah. sucks. But when we get into these discussions about it, I know when things are being done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have the solution? No.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say that I would be so rigid and walk into a room, my way or the highway, guys. Mm-hmm. I just know that you're wrong. And I know it can be done better.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that perhaps maybe I'm a person that could hire the person that could do it better
mm-hmm.
and identify them. But it's not necessarily going to be me. I'm not the answer to everything. Mm-hmm. I can't run everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to, but.
There's so many circumstances in my life where even through experience and even through my position that I've held or whatever, I thought I was right. And maybe I was, maybe in a scenario I was right, but part of being fluid is saying maybe I was right, but someone is more right than me
mm-hmm.
because that exists.
Yes.
Right. That
yes.
exists. So you could be correct, but I have a better.
Yes.
I've learned to say, instead of saying you're wrong,
mm-hmm.
again, the wording,
mm-hmm.
I've learned to say, how can I learn from the situation? There's something off with this situation. I'm not saying you're right. I'm not saying I'm right. What is it that's lacking and how do we get to a solution? Because I don't care about the labeling part. I don't care about being right or wrong,
mm-hmm.
right? Even if I'm in the most important meeting of my life and I've been in meetings, it's not about that, right? It's about, do we all understand there's a problem? Because that's the first thing.
They don't.
Right. And so if they don't understand that's a problem, then guess what? I haven't done a good enough job communicating what I think the problems are.
Well, is there not a chance that they're just too stupid to...
No, it's on me to communicate
I don't know about that.
It is.
You believe in people way more than I do.
No, because I think this goes to accountability. I think it's my job if I want to portray a certain point, I have to explain it in a way. And we had a podcast on this. I have to explain it in a way that you are able to understand.
But we're going to go back to this. What if you're in a room full of idiots?
But you're...
They cannot comprehend you.
Yeah, but generally, if you're in a room with full of idiots, they're not the idiots.
No.
Telling you, girl.
No.
You can't always be the smartest person in the room.
Well, see, that's where you and I think differently.
That's not a healthy way of thinking.
Well,
it's not.
Then I don't know why you're friends with me.
No, but what are you going to learn from that?
Well, I do learn. But I'm just saying.
But if they're idiots, why? What are you learning from them?
Well, this is why I sit at home alone. I don't want to be around them.
You can't isolate yourself.
I can, and I do.
Okay, fair enough.
But I mean, like, I'm not saying my way of living sucks, right? Slowly.
Well,
I wish I wasn't like
it's
this.
To each his own though, right? Yes. Like, yeah, everyone has their, as you said, if you want to deal with people's crap,
yes,
then you end up kind of not dealing with people's crap.
Yeah, you go and negotiate in the room full of idiots.
Yeah.
And I'll just sit back.
But then I get what I want.
Or not, because they're too idiotic to understand that your way of working is the better way of working.
Do you know the enjoyment I get when I'm able to help someone get something, understand something, or a problem, and then we were able to come up with a solution together because they just weren't aware of it, and I genuinely get satisfaction.
I'm starting to wonder if maybe you've identified my God complex and now I'm your project. And you're failing miserably. You just can't help yourself. You're just I need to change her.
No. I've learned. Here's the thing. If I've given up on changing men, I sure as hell will never try changing a woman. It's just there's no hope. Like, men, don't do it. Women, don't do it. Just don't change anyone. Just appreciate people for what they are. That's it. That's what I've learned. Also, different relationships have different approaches, right? In a friendship, I'm not here to negotiate with you. In a friendship, I'm not here to change you. In a friendship, I'm here to support you, to be a rock, for you to be my rock, for us to, you know, enjoy life together. And that's what a friendship is. It's not me trying to be like, well, she's wrong and I'm going to change her mind. No. How many times have you done things that I'm like, this is not, she should not be doing this.
And I say a sentence,
yeah, don't think this is a good idea, but I'm going to be here when shit hits the fan. I'm right here.
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And how many times have I said that to you? How many times I'm like,
but that's the kind of approach that I wish to have in an intimate relationship as well. I expect that in an intimate relationship. I expect them not to love every single aspect about me, but to support me anyways. Like, that's love.
That's love.
Yeah, we're not all going to have the like Taylor and Travis love where it's like just like picture perfect and then like support each other with everything.
Yeah.
I don't mind if my future husband hates how I dissect shit. If he still loves me.
But he's going to love me for that.
I don't
that.
Care. I don't care that he hates certain things about me.
But I think that's just it. The point of it is you know your person's flaws. You know your friend's flaws. You know my flaws. You know your partner's flaws. The point of it is being like, yeah, they're like that, but still love them.
Yes.
You can't take one person's personality and pick and choose what you like about it. It's one coin.
Yeah.
A lot of traits also come with bad parts of them. Like people who are really kind, they're going to be kind to everyone.
Yeah.
Right? So you can't be like, oh, why are they kind to strangers? That's so annoying. They're kind to every single person I know. No, but you love that about them.
Yeah.
I was watching this thing where the girls, he opens the door for everyone. He's just aware and just like holds the umbrella for an old lady and this. And she's just like, this is what happens when you're in love with a kind man. There's good and there's the bad. There's two sides to the coin. You can't pick and choose what you want.
Louder for the people in the back. Way back.
Yeah. So I haven't seen you in a while, actually, have I?
Yeah.
And I'm going away again soon.
Yeah.
I feel like I have so much to update you on in terms of life. We do these podcasts twice a week. Mm-hmm. The last few weeks, we just haven't done it. And there was so much that happened.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like time just flu.
But I also think that's your life in general.
Yeah, that's true.
And I point that out to you often. Do you remember how only 4 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
This was happening?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Mistakes were made. I say all of this because I can be an impulsive person. And I think when I was reflecting on some of our conversations and just like who I am in general, when I love, I think it's going to be a great love. Like, I think mm-hmm. it's going to be a quick and great love. Mm-hmm. And by quick, I don't mean on and off quickly. Mm-hmm. I'll know it right away. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because deep down I am maybe a hopeless romantic and I just never wanted to admit that to myself.
Right.
So I think like the idea of it happening for me is so real. Like, I'm like, yeah, of course I could fall in love with someone and really love them and it could happen. But what happens is, and this is a conversation I had with a few girlfriends abroad, I think people are doing such a good job masking themselves in the midst of wanting to just not be cynical and not be a pessimist. I'm trying to push through the barriers of giving people the benefit of doubt. And I think what's happening in the midst of that is I'm allowing myself to miss some of the incompatibilities that really are there right from the start.
I think you're doing a lot of work that I've done as well.
I've noticed that, like my previous experience, the one that you were referring to, girl, I sat there and I went through, because it was a short thing. I went through moments, conversations, because I'm like, how did I miss this? And here's the problem. The problem is a lot of things people say in the beginning, like I'm talking about the first date, the second date, you don't know if it's 100% true until like the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh date, right? And unless you're seeing someone every single day, 7 dates is generally 2 months, like 6 weeks, 2 months, right? Depending on how often you see them. So it generally takes that long, 2-3 months to see someone's true colors. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't mean to see, like to be able to take their words and match it with their actions. Again, I'm not talking about superficial stuff. Like when people have life aspirations and they talk about their life aspirations on day one, and then you realize throughout the dating portion that their definition of life aspirations is very different than what they portrayed to be. Like, it was misleading. Again, not intentionally. Funny enough, we talked about this. I think people, for wanting to make something work or because they like someone a lot, they misrepresent themselves or they mislead unintentionally. And you don't get to know that until a few dates in.
I would argue that it's some of that is on the other person to
identify.
Okay,
so I'll give you an example.
Certain pieces.
I'll give you an example. When someone says I'm financially stable.
Yes, but yeah, but you're just saying words to me.
Right. So well, then you I, talk about like.
No, but see, I don't take people's words right away. I'm judging the entire situation.
Right. So how long does it normally take?
Perhaps you and I kind of observe and interpret differently. When I'm judging a person, mm-hmm. It's way more than just words. I'm taking so many different aspects of what I'm observing about them into play. The most important piece of that is you have to let people live their lives to draw their own conclusions, because I certainly never got to these conclusions mm-hmm. and learned how to interpret them by someone else telling me to look out for these things. Mm-hmm. That's literally never influenced me. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's ever influenced me is my own mistakes.
Yeah.
And learning from those. So it's an unfortunate thing to have to sit back and like let people learn their lessons. I'm still doing it.
Yeah, I think it's part of it though, isn't it? It's part of life. And I think I'm similar in the sense that I have to learn my mistakes myself. Like, I just don't think that I experience things the same as other people do in general. So I have to burn my hand the way I want to burn it. And then I'll be like, okay, don't touch the fire.
Well, yet again, we did not solve the world's problems.
I think we actually made it worse.
We did make it worse. With these last four.
Yeah.
Even I'm upset. I think we're going to have to tackle accountability next.
You're perplexed.
We gotta keep trudging through this.
We're not gonna fix it.
No, we gotta fix the world.
we gotta fix at least one.
Please. Over and out.